Shabbat. It's Shabbat Gadol. It's the Shabbat immediately before Passover, Pesach. And the traditional Haftarah portion, as you saw, is Malachi. And so Malachi is the last book of the Tanakh. And it is read, no matter what the Torah portion happens to be this week, as wherever Passover falls out, it is always the Haftarah portion, the portion from the prophets. It is always read on Shabbat Gadol, the week before Passover. The last book of the Tanakh. So then we have 400 years, basically 400 years before the ending of the Tanakh, from the prophets speaking God through the prophets. And then we have 400 years later where we read about the coming of Messiah and we start reading about the good news, the Besorah, the New Testament. It's 400 years. So Malachi came to tell the people of a great event that would happen in their future. And so God is saying through Malachi what is going to happen. Let's go to our first scriptures this morning. So we're reading Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2, and then Malachi 4, part of verse 2. So God speaks through Malachi. He says, "Behold, I send a messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." These are some of the last words that the prophets leave us before we have this sort of long period of 400 years before God really speaks again and through the words that we read in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. And so his messenger, he says, my messenger will be the Lord. God is saying that he will be the messenger. How does that happen like that? We don't know, but only God can do that. Where he speaks and he points towards the messenger and he says, oh, by the way, that messenger is me. And then it says that he will have healing in his wings. We just read this morning about the leper and I just said, and thanks Lord for just putting that in my mouth here so I could add it to my message here this morning, that the only time we have recorded that a leper was healed was through Yeshua, because Yeshua had healing in his wings. We also know about the woman with the issue of blood that's touched the wing, the corner of his tzitzit, and this is always called the wing, and so she touched it and she was healed immediately. And so we read this, these prophetic words. Now, people will read this and says, the Son of Righteousness is going to arise and have healing in his wings. And people will go, oh, it's the Son of God. It's the Son of God. No, it is the Son, the S-U-N. It's translated as Son of Righteousness. But the thing is, it's a mostly unused root word, shemesh, that is used for the phrase here, shemetz, tzadikah, or tzadikah, shemesh, means it's implied as sun, because the word shemesh is brilliance. And so if we were to bring it back to its original Hebrew, it really should, I would say, and the brilliance of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. So not to confuse it that, oh my God, it's not the Son of God, it is. But he was brilliant, and he was the brilliance of righteousness that came to us And note one other thing here. You know, just in a couple of verses, we have so much for us to see. It says, he will suddenly appear to his temple. What that tells us is the temple had to be still there when the Messiah would come. So what we know is the Messiah could not come after 70 AD. So all these messiahs and the Jewish people that proclaimed the Messiah and the false messiahs, they couldn't have come because after 70 AD there was no temple for him to suddenly come to his temple. So here we are, we have some weeks before Passover, and we did these days of preparation. We started the month, Nisan, and we had preparation for Passover, and we are preparing. What are we preparing for? We're preparing something new and exciting, hopefully in our lives at this Passover season, and so even this year. So Malachi was preparing the people for something that was new, something that was going to be new in their lives, something that they had never experienced before. And so he was preparing them. I don't know if he knew it was going to be 400 years before it happened. Maybe he thought it was going to be a year later, 2 years. All he was doing was speaking God's word to the people. But he was preparing them for something new, as God was preparing Israel in Exodus for the... Now we go to the first Passover. We see that God was preparing the people for something new, drastically new, before the first Passover. Let's go to Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. And so what God did, he sort of reset the calendar, and he made it so that that month, the month of Nisan, would be the first month of the year for them. It became a new year. It became a new time in their lives. We're beginning something new, people. This is what he said. And so he said, for you, it's going to be new. For the Egyptians, it won't be new. But for you, it's going to be new. And so it's going to be a new month, a new year, a new beginning. Because Passover, the Pesach, the Exodus, is going to change your life forever. It's going to drastically change your lives forever. And it's not just that they came from slavery into freedom, but there was something brand new that would be happening here, that would be foreshadowing about an event that would happen years and years to come. And it would be a good thing. It would be a drastic change, but it would be a drastic change for the good. And so here we have God is sort of trying to lay out in this wonderful way, showing his plan of redemption. And here that we see this morning in our Haftarah portion, he sets this wonderful plan in motion with Malachi 400 years before the birth of Yeshua. And he does this even to eyes that do not see, as the scripture, as the word of God says. There are eyes that do not see, there are ears that do not hear. And so what God is doing, he's trying to get his message out to his people. And so in doing that, he gives the non-believing sages of Judaism this insight to assign the book of Malachi to be read every Shabbat right before Passover, the Shabbat Gadol, and that's why it's called the Great Shabbat, because it is that Shabbat right before Passover. And so we don't know. We don't know, did the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, speak to these sages, or did they feel it in their heart, or did they somehow sense it and they didn't even understand and realize what they were doing? We don't know it. But we do know they were not believers in Yeshua. But God, he did something to this in their lives to make this the traditional reading before Passover. And so I'll just quickly, and then we'll let you make your own connection here. Numbers 22:28. And then the Lord opened the mouth of the jackass, and she said to Balaam, What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And so God made a donkey, a jackass, speak the words of God. See, the reality is, yes, God could even make a jackass speak. So maybe we should not. So sometimes if God speaks to us, you know, maybe we're not so high on our horse here. You know, if God speaks to you and tells you something, let's not strut around. Ooh, the Lord spoke to me. Because he spoke to a jackass, people. Let's, come on. But he can do anything. He can do it. He could do it to anyone. What I'm trying to show you is, just because the sages did some wonderful things, and we know, and we sense that God caused them to do it, we're not to worship the sages that were not believers in Yeshua. We're not to worship the Messiahs, the traditional rabbis today, because sometimes they have a little bit of a spark and they do something that we would agree with, or we would see it's from the Lord. Because the Lord can do that with anyone for his purposes. Okay, so let's go on. So Malachi was preparing Israel for a new life that would come to them. And he's not going to move. He's not going to speak for 400 years, really. He does something in the background. You know, we read about, in like 135 B.C., about the Hanukkah and the incidents of the Hanukkah and the, you know, the Maccabees and everything. And God was orchestrating this whole thing in the background and everything for sure. But we don't see God speaking there. He was there. He's always working. The reality is he's always working, even when we don't know it. Amen. He's always there with you. Amen. Even some of you that have not accepted Yeshua into your life, he's working. His spirit is working. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to show you what the reality is. God is always there for everyone. And he works with us and deals with us on different levels. But he is always there. And so this new life with the coming of Yeshua, this new life with the accepting of Yeshua is going to happen 400 years after we read from the words from Malachi. Yeshua is going to fulfill the Exodus event of the Passover lamb sacrifice. And so this is why God moved these sages to have it read in every synagogue a week before Passover, showing them that he is going to come as a messenger and he's going to come to his temple and showing all these wonderful things that hopefully they'll see the connection the next week or next few days or maybe even that evening whenever it would Passover would fall out, that, oh yeah, this is what Malachi said. He's one of our Jewish prophets. And hey, look at this, what happens at the Passover Seder. Hopefully people would start making the connection. God lays it out, whatever they're going to do with it, hopefully they're going to do the right things. And so the parallel is complete as we now receive new life also. Malachi talked about a new life that would come 400 years later, but we have been blessed to be a part of what happened 2,000 years ago. And so we receive new life. We receive everlasting life. We receive this wonderful new life through the Passover Lamb of God. This is the parallel. This is the picture that is complete, the cycle that is complete. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, he offers, as he so often does, he offers these great words of advice, and he talks in one of his letters about the new beginning and the new man. And he begins by saying, using this term new man, and I know it's a term that's used a lot today, and sometimes I think it's overused, because when it's used in the church, people assume, oh, it's one new man. Everybody's going to be a Christian. Ooh, we're all going to be, Everyone's going to be Christians. Everyone that comes to know the Lord. But that is not really true. We are going to be one new man. We are all one new people in Messiah. But it doesn't mean we're going to go to, you know, some place or some other place, or we're not going to be, you know, what we really are. But that term, one new man, it should be that we are, as new people, with this new life, we're going to walk in love. Shaul says we're going to walk in light. We're going to walk in wisdom. And we should not grieve the Ruach. We should not, or we will not, as new people, grieve the Ruach, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians 5:15, just one verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And when he's talking about the one new man that we become, circumspectly, you know, we have the Latin for circum and circle and circumference, it is round and around. So why? Because it's precise. It's precisely, it's diligently, it's circling around things and looking at it at all angles, making sure that we're doing the right things. In other words, it's not that we do things sloppily. It's not that we do things haphazardly. It's not that we say, this is good enough. It'll be good enough. You know what? Let's not drive ourselves crazy that we're doing everything exactly the right way for the Lord, but let's not be sloppy about it. Circumspectly, let's look at it. Let's look at it from all sides, and let's make sure that we're doing the best that we can. And so we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise people. So as new men and women, and the term is new men, but come on, I got to get with the modern times, I have to say, right? It's new with new people. So with being a new person, we are to be wise, as I said a minute ago. Ephesians 5:16, the next verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I just wanted to say something about this. It's not that the term is really evil. This is sort of a little bit of a mistranslation here, because people get it's evil, there's a conspiracy, and people are afraid to go out of their door, and they're afraid to do anything, and oh my God, and everything is so evil. But it's not really evil. The word is poneros, is the Greek that he used. It's hurtful. You see, so really if we plug it in, redeeming the time because the days are hurtful. The days around you, the world around us, what's going on day by day can hurt us. See, and that's why we're supposed to be mindful about it. But I just don't want people to get, it's evil and I'm afraid to do anything. And God forbid I should talk to people that aren't believers and make friends that, don't know the Lord because they're not believers. Let's not get into that. You see, the days are hurtful. That's what the Lord is saying here. So we are to make the most of every God-given opportunity if we, in fact, are new men and women. Let's use what's going on around us for opportunities for good. Opportunities for good. Opportunities to tell people about the goodness of the Lord. Ephesians 5:17 and 18. So don't be foolish. Now notice he uses the word fool and foolish two times. So don't be foolish. Hey, believers, don't be fools. Don't act like fools. Don't be foolish. Try to understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine because it makes you lose control. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. This is not against drinking anything with alcohol. There are denominations and churches, some of them use this. We're not supposed to drink anything. Alcoholic, it doesn't say that. It says don't get drunk and lose control. You don't need wine to make you joyful and be happy. All you need is the Spirit of God. So I'm going to tell you a little story. Hopefully I can remember where I left off here, because after I told you the little story, I'm going to have to look for it again. So years ago, we had a rabbi's conference, and a bunch of us were up in the hospitality suite up at the Rosen Plaza, and we were there till like 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know, we were having a great time, and we were a bunch of us in there, and we were having a great time. We were laughing and talking and everything, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. We opened it up. It's one of the security people at the hotel. He wanted to know this, maybe because he thought we were all getting drunk in there, and so we said to him, listen, we're all Messianic rabbis, and we're having a good time, and you know, we're not drunk with wine, we're having joy and getting drunk with the Spirit. And the guy understood, and he said, okay, all right, you guys, just keep it down. Keep it down just a little bit. And I said, okay. But that's what it was. Someone thought that we were getting drunk and rowdy in there, and they thought that we were going to be, you know. Anyway, so that's it. Okay, so where did I leave off here? So make good choices, and let's let the Spirit of God bring joy to our lives. And it's amazing how even in times that are bad, that can be negative, that can be sadness, we can have that sadness, we can have these feelings, but there's something there, knowing the Lord and allowing the Spirit of God to be in you, that will still bring you up just enough so that you'll have enough joy in your life to be able to look at things around you in a good way. It doesn't mean we ignore bad things around us, but what it means is we can handle these things. We can understand things that are going on around us, and sometimes we can just deal with things a little bit better than everyone else. That not because we're better than them, but because we have the Spirit of God, the Ruach, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit in us, that is giving us this amount of joy that the people just don't have. So back to the wilderness now. In the wilderness, the children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. We look at this and we say, what, are these people crazy? Are they nuts? They want to go back? Why do they want to go back? Because, oh, we had leeks and onions and they tasted so good in the food, and all we have here is to eat manna, and we're starving. All we have is manna. Back there, we could spice up our foods with leeks and onions. We want to go back. They were willing to go back to slavery and bondage so that they could have leeks and onions in their food. Listen, I like food, but I don't know if I would go back to slavery and bondage just because of some leeks and onions in there. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And so then what they do is, and they get to the point where they say, we are missing our gods and goddesses. And things aren't going the way we think should be going. And Moses is up on Mount Sinai too long. Let's build a golden calf and let's start worshiping that golden calf as an idol and dance around and have this unruach kind of joy that we're dancing around the golden calf. We look at that thing and we say, how in the world could they do that? But this is what happens in our hearts when we don't have the Spirit of God in us. And so this is what happened in the wilderness. And so two great enemies of our new lives are that we constantly regret what we had in the past, even though it doesn't really, logically, it doesn't make sense, but this is this lie that it was so much better in our past lives. That is a great enemy of our new life. And then also what happens is many times people have anxiety about what's going to happen in the future. Israel didn't know what was going to happen in the wilderness. They had no idea. The reality is they didn't even know at that time that they were going to be wandering around for 40 years. But they had this anxiety because we're in the wilderness and what's going to happen to us. So these are two great enemies for us, our past and our future, and we have to be very mindful of that. And so as we prepare our homes, and hopefully you've really started to prepare your homes for Passover, we're going to be cleaning up the kitchen and the areas, the common areas, this week in the synagogue, because we want to get all the chametz, we were going to get all the leaven out. And so hopefully you're preparing your homes. It's commanded. It's not just a traditional thing. God commanded in Exodus. And we get rid of the leaven. So as we do that, let's let today Shabbat, Shabbat Gadol, remind us of this new life that God has given us. And if he hasn't given you that new life, maybe you should think about desiring that new life that God can give us. But we have to understand it's only through the Passover Lamb of God. It's only through Messiah Yeshua. Remember, if they didn't put the blood of the Passover Lamb on that doorpost, the firstborn would die in that home. Didn't matter if they were Jew or Egyptian, they would die. That was the only way through that door with the blood of the Lamb. And so let's, as Shaul said, let's keep the feast. But let's keep the feast this year with our new life, with joy in our lives, with truth and dedication in our lives. And let's really enter into what's going to happen on Friday night with our Passover. And let's just go there with that right heart and enjoy ourselves with the Lord and have this wonderful night in memorial and understanding what God did centuries later by coming to earth as his son and dying for our sins, that we can all have new life. Shabbat Shalom. Praise you, Lord.